now headed to the ring from Orlando, Florida, at a combined weight of, what, really? Never mind, the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. I'm Rick.
I'm Drew, and I usually hear music.
Yes, well, we're doing things a little different today. So on the phone with us, we have Dave Dahl, the Daredevil. And he's an independent wrestler from Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And Dave, go ahead and introduce yourself.
How's it going, everybody? I'm Dave. And you're right, it's mostly New Jersey, though, because, you know, Philly's not that great of an area. But I'm glad to be on your show.
Awesome. Glad to have you. So just to kind of get started, first tell us a little bit about your upbringing. You know, did you play any sports? Where are you from originally?
I'm born and raised in South Jersey, and I actually started wrestling when I was 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I joined thinking it was what I'm doing now. That obviously wasn't. And
little Roman
Greco beat people up without getting in trouble, so it was fun.
Little Roman Greco freestyle.
Yeah, they call it Scholastic over here. I don't know if it's called different over other places. No, it's what you typically see in high schools and stuff. So I did that for a long time. Plus, played football, high school, added some track, and then when I couldn't do that anymore, I went to school for professional wrestling.
Well, that's awesome. And where, like, where? How did you start? Obviously, you started while doing wrestling in, the Scholastic style wrestling up there. But how did you get started in the professional wrestling?
I went away to college for a year, wrestled amateurly there, and then I came back home. I was going to school 2 days a week plus working all the other days. So I was looking for a wrestling school. And I had messaged MLJ, who I think is still the ring announcer for CZW. If not, he was. He ring announces for other promotions I work for. So I messaged him, and he suggested going to what was then NWA Force One School, who at the time the trainers were Sammy Callahan, a guy by the name RV1, and Johnny Calzone. So that's why I ended up going, you know, driving an hour each way every day on the days that I had school, because I had off of work those days.
The Johnny Calzone thing made me laugh, because a friend of mine is an acquaintance of mine is a so he was an MMA fighter, but now he does professional wrestling on the side, and he goes by Seth Pepperoni sometimes. So it's a kind of a funny little thing there with the Italian tie-in.
Johnny's gimmick actually was the Pizza Man, so
nice,
it worked. He was great with his character in the ring and everything. Unfortunately, he doesn't wrestle anymore. He is doing one last match against one of the other last students of Force One on the 28th, but it's a show just for the boys. Anybody that didn't get, like, their retirement match or anything like that is coming out, and we're just having basically a party, which is going to be fun.
So, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's be like being backstage through the whole thing.
So how hard was it to adjust from, or what was different about adjusting from Scholastic wrestling to professional wrestling?
I mean, Scholastic wrestling, you're in constant contact, and you don't have to portray a character or be mean or be good. You know what I mean? You're going out there just to compete. With professional wrestling, you know, you have your heels, you have your faces, and you have to portray the character that you're either given or you came up with. So that was the struggle for me. I mean, picking up the bumping and the moves was easy. I flew through that. It's just learning to put them together and when to do them and telling that story that everybody wants to see. That's where the hard parts come in.
Just because you brought it up, do you prefer... I watched a couple of your matches, and it seemed like you were playing a heel most of the time. I think I watched one where you were a face, but it was a tag team battle. Do you prefer the face or the heel?
I mean, I like both. I mean, my aspect of it is I go into a show thinking, all right, these people are paying their money and they might have a death in the family, somebody's sick, something's happening in their life that it's not that great. And now my job is to make them forget about it and either cheer me or if I'm a bad guy, boo me and get them to step away from what they're doing. You know, we always say we're supposed to suspend the belief. So like for me, my goal is to make them forget about anything that's going on in their life and just be in the moment and enjoy what they're seeing and participate in what they're seeing and make them feel like they just spent their $10-$15 for a good reason. You know, a lot of shows I do are charity shows. A lot of shows I do, I've done birthday parties in the past with other organizations. And, you know, I like the giving back aspect of it all. You know, because wrestling since I was 8 has given me so much. So that's kind of how I look at it.
And I'd imagine it's, like, I just from personal experience from going to indie matches, I assume that it's easier to be a heel than it is to be a face. Because, I mean, you go in into the crowd and pick on a little kid and you're immediately a heel. Like, so, you know, and most of the, especially with the indie scene, a lot of those guys, you have the regulars, but then you have the ones that are just showing up because it's at their local church or at their local school, you know, so they don't really know the characters.
Yeah, I mean, being a heel, it's a little easier because all you have to do is pull your hand away from a little kid and all of a sudden, boo. But when you're a face, you know, going out there and consoling that kid that got their, you know, the hand pulled away.
Right.
Boom, all of a sudden you're over the top in everybody's eyes because you did that. I just had a match this past Wednesday at CZW Dojo Wars where the heel stole the kid's soda. Opened it, started drinking it, and then smacked me in the face with it. So when I started coming back on him, I grabbed the soda, gave it back to him. It's like, it's all going to be good. I'm going to go beat his butt right now for that. You know, and like sometimes, you know, kids start crying too. So I don't want them to cry during the show. I want, even if I'm a heel, I don't want to make nobody cry. I mean, if they do, it's great because it's going to get me heat. But I don't want to make them cry.
Right.
I'd rather make them enjoy it and have fun. You know, if they want to hit me, cool. It's great. But I don't want to make them cry because I stole their soda. Yeah, stuff like that.
How does it when you're playing a heel and you go out and you get that heel heat and everyone's booing you? How does that feel? Does it like kind of bother you because they're booing you, or is it just great because you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing?
It means I'm doing my job. So like if I'm supposed to be the heel and I go out there and I get no reactions, and you know. It makes me look bad. The promoter won't bring me back again.
Right.
You know, if I don't do my job, I'm not accomplishing what the booker told me to do or, you know, the producer of the match told me what to do. I have to do my job so that I'm either one, valuable to the company, or two, I get over enough that the company enjoys what I did and they bring me back. Now, one-offs are okay. I mean, I'd preferably rather be with a company for a long haul. But, I mean, I'll do the one-offs. I don't care. I mean, as long as I'm in the ring and I get to do what I do, I'm happy, you know? So.
And going back just a little bit, did you have a wrestling idol growing up? I know you said you were trying to get into the professional wrestling at 8 and then ended up with the Scholastic stuff. But did you have an idol back then or somebody that you look at now that you try and model yourself after?
Well, I've always enjoyed Shawn Michaels' matches. I've always enjoyed Bret Hart's matches. Kurt Angle, when he came along, that was like, oh, wow, an amateur wrestler can transfer into this perfectly. But the other day, because, you know, WrestleMania week was just a little bit ago.
Right.
A buddy of mine had put up, what's your favorite WrestleMania match? And I surprised them because I put The Rockers versus Haku and Barbarian from WrestleMania 7.
Nice.
Okay,
and
good match.
Like, he's like, what? Why that? And I'm like, well, it shows you that two guys that aren't that big, and me knowing me and my family, I know I'm not going to be that tall, can work two big animals and make it all make sense and make it believable. And it was an art. And it was the first match, because that was the first WrestleMania I ever seen when I was like 3 years old. That was the first match that really caught my eye. So that has always been my favorite WrestleMania match. And, you know, I try to emulate some of the stuff because, like, the Rockers would oversell everything that, you know, being a Barbarian did, because they're the little guys. If Barbarian grabs me and throws me, I'm going to sell and fly out of the ring maybe, or sell into the corner and look panicked. You know, it's just knowing your audience and knowing how you want to portray something.
Seeing your the matches and seeing Your gear. I have to ask, are you a comic book fan? Because I noticed that your logo is basically, it's a cross between the Punisher and Daredevil logos. And you have, and the Daredevil, of course, is your name.
I am. So I used to wrestle under a different name for when I first started. Then I changed it to my shoot name. Dave Dahl is legitimately my shoot name. And I added Daredevil in front of it, one, because I like the TV show, two, I love the comic book, and Daredevil's a badass.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, I didn't know if we're allowed to curse.
Oh, no, you're right. You're
as
fine.
Swear as much as you want.
Swear away.
So when I did that, I thought to myself, I'm changing my name. Well, I need a logo. The DD from Daredevil works. Why don't I put Daredevil in front of it? It has a nice, good ring to it all the way through. And if I put hashtag Daredevil on all my posts, at the time the new season of Daredevil is coming out, it now ties in anything I post with anything being posted about Daredevil.
Yep.
So people stumble across it, yeah.
Yeah. Random people will stumble across and be like, what is this? And then look at it. So it was a marketing ploy, nonetheless. And then the skull idea was, I do enjoy Punisher, and I wanted something a little bit different. But actually, I have since changed my logo to a more, like, more devilish skull with the DD still in the head and all. It's pretty cool. It's on my newer singlet. I still have Daredevil on it, but it's down on my ribs instead of down my back. And it came out pretty nice. See, I'm one of the guys. Everybody likes getting their tights with, like, stitching and all that. And I got 3D. I get the printed stuff, like a high school amateur singlet, because that's what I'm used to wearing.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about my logos falling off.
Right. And you're comfortable in it. And that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah. Where guys might, you know, wear their tights for 2-3 months and their logo starts falling off. I can wear my singlet for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about the logo falling off. I just got to wash it correctly so it doesn't wash out.
And so, being, when I was watching your matches, how is it dealing with smaller crowds? Cause I mean, I've been to massive matches and, most of the, you get some decent, even for the, like the house shows and I mean, not house show, but the, well, the NXT house shows and the smaller,
as I say, we get the benefit of NXT.
We do have the benefit
here.
Of NXT having being down here, but, even some of the indie shows have decent turnouts around here, but I saw that there's a couple of them where, it was a smaller crowd for you. And how do you deal with getting a smaller crowd? Is it easier, harder? I mean, you can go more one-on-one with each of them, I assume. But I figured the hecklers might get in the way a little bit more, too.
Well, with the smaller crowd, like with Dojo Wars, we don't set up that many seats. You know, it's just a few fans, roughly 20 or so. It's more of a student show to, you know, get everybody ring work and practice work and the crowd and the camera. So, like, with that, I just focus on what I just do the same thing I'm supposed to do with larger crowds. I sell over the top, make sure, you know, everybody sees my face, and I just play to the camera. But again, with the smaller shows, like you said, the hecklers, yeah, you hear them a little bit more and you know, get heckled. Like there's one kid, like I'm a face there. So there's one kid that hates me for some reason, even though I'm a face. And I just joke with them instead. No, I don't go heel on them. I just joke with them. It's just easier that way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even Dojo Wars, we don't even use music. So, like, on Wednesday nights, we don't use music, so you have to practice your entrance without music, which is a little awkward at first, but you get used to it. And then we do super shows, which we have one on the 19th. We'll have music, but it's the same setup. So you still, but you get a little bit more people. So it's a good way that CCW has come up with to teach their students and all how to work the crowd, work the ring. Because if you can get make 20 people react to you, you can go out there and make 50, 100, 150, 500. You know, you can make anybody react to you.
When you do the smaller indie shows, is there a booker and a writer there, or just like someone that books the matches?
Most indie shows have just a booker. Sometimes it's a promoter and booker.
Mm-hmm.
Not many have writers. Some do. Some have producers. Some don't. I know when I work Dog, I get my match. I get with the promoter, who's also the booker, and he tells me what he wants for the finish, and then we come up with the rest of the story. Like right now, I'm in a feud with Pat Shamrock there, and on May 25th, he's wrestling my tag partner, Dylan Mesh, And if he beats Dylan Mesh, he gets 5 minutes, no DQ with me after that match. So, like, we have a whole storyline going because we attacked him. He got hurt. The kid that he brought in to help him, we did a six-man tag with him and Robbie E and Ike Phillips. Ike Phillips actually was just, like, extra on WrestleMania. He was a psychiatrist. Shout out to Ike. So we did a six-man. We had an expendable partner who was the guy that attacked Pat. We lost. We attacked the guy that was supposed to be teaming with Pat in the back, hurt his knee. So he's out. So now Pat's trying to get revenge. And you come up with storylines. Sometimes promoters can do that on their own. Sometimes they need help. Sometimes, you know, it all depends on how creative everybody that's working for you is.
Do you guys, when you're wrestling someone, do you go over the match in detail before? Do you call any of it in the ring, or how does that work?
Preferably me. I like to find out what the finish is, do the finish first, then call like a little bit of the middle, like where the babyface would get shine or comeback, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, opening spot, obviously you want to know what you're going to start off with. And then in the ring, you kind of just feel it. Like, as a heel, it's so much easier because you're basically in charge of the match.
Mm-hmm.
You can do cheap stuff like choke them and punch them and kick them and poke them in the eyes and all that stuff.
I saw the duct tape choke in the In Your One match.
I mean, I keep it simple. I mean, I do nothing crazy, really. I mean, I've started to because I've gotten the advice to be more of a daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. People are taking it more literally than, you know, vigilante kind of. So I've added moonsaults. I've added suicide dives. I'm working on some other stuff. But, like, I don't need to do those all the time. Like, I didn't do any of that on Wednesday because it was a no DQ fight between me and somebody that's been brewing for 3 weeks, you know. So it makes, you know, you learn how to put certain stuff that you do into matches without having, as we say, get your shit in.
Yeah.
You know, if it makes sense for me to do my middle rope elbow, which I call not your grandma's elbow, because of my one tattoo, then I'll do that. I might not do the moonsault because I'm doing that. If, you know, I might not hit the doll DT if I went over the week before and, you know, I might go for it, but I might not get it this time because if I finished him with it last time, I get it this time and he kicks out, then the move's completely blown for me.
And I saw that you went to a number of different schools that you've gone and worked with a couple of different people over the years at different events. But what sticks out to you as your best wrestling experience?
My best wrestling experience?
Yeah.
There's been a lot. When I first started, I did a seminar with Kevin Nash, and I've always loved watching Kevin Nash matches.
He's a good dude. He used to work out at my Gold's Gym when I was growing up. Like, I was 18 years old, and he comes walking into the gym. It was kind of cool.
He's a big dude.
Oh, he's massive.
So, like, he didn't really get in the ring, but he watched my match. I was working with this kid that was probably newer than I was, and I had only been training for about a year at this point. And so we did the match. The kid forgot some. We got through it, finished it. He gave us some advice. He's like, you know, it's hard to tell what you can do because he's so green. You had to make up for him. And he's like, but everything you did was crisp and clean. He's like, I would just adjust certain things. And then he made fun of my boots because my boots at the time were the shiny leather boots.
Yes.
So he's like, it looks like you don't use them a lot. I mean, I was just starting out. I haven't even had my real first match on a show yet when I did that. But getting compliments like that from him were, you know, we're good. I appreciated it. And then later on, a few years later, I did one with Matt Bourne, and I did my little cartwheel spot that I do, and he was impressed by it. He actually gave me his personal phone number to keep in contact with him. Unfortunately, passed away a few months later. And, I mean, I teamed with Mario Giannetti. That was a moment, considering Rockers is one of my favorite matches. Yeah. You know, working with, you know, learning from guys like Sami Callihan, who's one of the top guys in Impact right now. Rich Swann, he's a buddy of mine. I just saw him a few weeks ago at PPW. I've met so many good people in wrestling that it's great. Like, even DJ Hyde, he gets so much crap, and people give him so much shit about everything. But when you actually talk to him and it's not a show day, He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. Wrestling is a good thing. It's family. It's a fraternity that has women in it as well. So I don't know what you would call a joint fraternity sorority, but
co-ed fraternity,
whatever it's called, that's what wrestling is. And you meet many impactful people in your life. I mean, some of the people that I call best friends are in wrestling business, you know, so it's fun being in, and the experiences you get are fun. Even if it's just a squash match like I did with Gene Snitsky, that to me was an honor because the company I was working for didn't have somebody for him. They looked at me, they're like, you can do this. We trust you. Go out there and do it. And we did it, you know? So now I appreciate it.
Now that we'll kind of swing to the opposite side of the things. Everybody's had bad matches. What is the worst match or experience? It doesn't even have to be a match. It could be getting invited. Like you said, you performed at birthday parties before. You know, have you ever gotten there and like nothing was set up or just any kind of interesting experience? It doesn't even have to be bad. Just something outside of the ordinary.
One of the dog events last year, the year before, where we run that, there's a basketball, like a youth basketball tournament, and they were running super late. So they had to move where we were running at. Still were running late, still playing games on where they moved us to in the building. And we had to set up the ring when doors were opening. So nobody got to like go over stuff in the ring, set up the ring, set up the entranceway, all when the doors were opening. So that was one of the worst things we had to do. Other than that, a rope breaking, that's always terrible. I really haven't had that many bad experiences. I know my first ever match was a tag match, and I give all the credit to the guys I was working. They wrestled under the name Sal and Vinny DeMarco. They were also known as the Staten Island Wrecking Crew. So it was me and a guy by the name of CJ Summers versus the Staten Island Wrecking Crew. And the first bump of the match is me and CJ duck their line and give them a double drop kick. So when those two bumped, the one smacked the other in the nose and broke his nose. So I'm sitting there thinking I kicked him in the face. And this is my first ever match. I'm greener than goose poop. And I'm like, shit, I'm all out of the match now. Like, my head's not there because I'm worried that, you know, I'm going to get a receipt because I thought I kicked him in the face.
Right.
Turned out it was actually his partner slapped him in the face when they bumped. They lit my chest up that night to welcome me to the business. I still talk to Vinny. He's awesome. I'm going to see him on the 28th at that retirement show as well. And, I mean, it's guys like that. Like, they were super impressed with what I did. And because of that, I went on later on to face Vinny for a champion, my first main event and first championship within my first year of wrestling actual shows. And we had a decent match. I mean, I was still super green, but we got through it and it was good. And I still go back and watch it every now and again and go, wow, this was actually a decent match for my experience level at that time. And I thanked him numerous times for it. I went and saw him get inducted to a Hall of Fame for a company around here a few weeks ago, you know, just to show my support. I wasn't booked anywhere. I was like, I'm going to go, you know, support my buddy. So it's stuff like that. You know, little things like that can make you feel like you're going to have a bad match. But you got to work through it and keep your head in the game, too.
Well, it's good to hear, you know, that you got that chance to work through it.
Yeah.
So what was more difficult for you to pick up, learning to do like promos or actual like the learning the ring and wrestling?
Oh, promos were terrible. My first ever promo, because of my last name, I called myself the Toy Master, and I don't tell anybody this story. Joe Gacy was there at the time. I don't know if you guys know of Joe. He's pretty well known. He wrestles for Evolve right now and a whole lot of other companies. He was a former CZW World Champion, former Force One Champion. So he would come and work out with us at Force One. And so it was promo day after training, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? And off the top of my head, I called myself the Toy Master. And I believe I said something like, I'm going to put you back in the toy box. Something stupid like that. Oh, God, it was terrible. And Joe's one of the trainers now at CZW's Academy. And I usually go on his night. And he just breaks my balls for it every time.
So if I come and see you guys when I'm up there in June, I'm going to call you the Toy Master and welcome myself to your toy box. I don't
That sounds a little weird, but by all means, go for it. You'll be up for TOD, though, so it's going to be a deathmatch tournament. Quite frankly, I don't do death matches. So, but yeah, Toy Master. It was my name was going to be Toy Master James Doll. not a good idea.
No.
So when you're learning wrestling and they're training you, what kind of emphasis do they put on, like, the importance of, like, selling injuries and stuff like that in the ring?
Oh, I mean, that's everything. You know, a lot of guys do the leg slaps when they punch. Mm-hmm. I don't. So if I have somebody that's not good at selling and I throw a punch and they don't sell it big enough, mm-hmm. it's going to make my punches look weak. The one match that I sent you guys from Dojo Wars, the kid didn't sell my punches that big. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, he's green, he's new, and he's one of the students there, but he didn't sell him that big, so my punches look weak, and I throw decently good punches. Mm-hmm. So, like, if someone throws a punch at me, I make sure my head flies up and I'm real big with it, because then he doesn't have to do the leg slap. I mean, the leg slap is so overrated and terrible. Like, even with, like, super kicks, I try not to do the leg slap. I mean, it's kind of ingrained, because when you throw your arm up and you're getting into form, your hand kind of goes there anyway, so it happens. But I rather rely on the selling of somebody. Right. In a match a few weeks ago, a guy did the finger snap to me. So instead of just doing the simple, yelling at my hand, he snapped it. I popped up, yelled, screamed, holding it, rolled around, screaming like he destroyed my hand.
And I'm sure he appreciated that.
Is just a little bit better. I mean, you don't always have to Dolph Ziggler hit, but sometimes certain things call for a bigger sell.
Yeah, but I mean, and it looks better if you're watching it if the person sells the move.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless it's supposed to lead to something else, like I took a super kick and it was to kick me up versus end the match. So he kicks me in the face, jogs me up, and I turn around into the finish. Sometimes like that, you don't want to sell it so big, but if I'm taking a super kick for the finish, you better believe I'm getting kicked and I'm laying there like I just got my jaw taken out.
Nice.
Well, I have one last question for you. What is your end goal? Where do you plan on being in wrestling? Are you, you know, happy in the indie circuit, or are you trying to get somewhere else?
I mean, my end goal is always like everybody else. Everybody wants to make it to the WWE. I would love to make it to the WWE, but if it doesn't happen, I'm happy with doing the charity shows and helping people out and, you know, giving people outlets. I mean, I'll keep performing as long as I can. I am happy on the indies, but I would always love, you know, I have a 10.5-month-old daughter who's really sparked my fire lately. You know, I wasn't really working hard at this for a while, and then I had her and I looked at her and I'm like, how am I supposed to tell her she can achieve her dreams with hard work, but I'm not putting the same hard work in?
Yeah.
You know, so I really have been putting the work in lately just to make sure I can show her when she's older, like, hey, look, daddy did it. You can do it too with anything you want to do. So obviously the dream is eventually, you know, even if it's just one time, squash match, whatever, get into the WWE for something. I don't care what it is. So I can show my daughter and my stepson, hey, this is how you have to approach life. You have to work hard to achieve what you want, or you're not. You're going to sit on your butt and you're going to be miserable. So, I mean, really, you know, my dream is to be in WWE. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't. But as long as I can show them, like, hey, I went for what I wanted to do, I'm happy, you know?
And that's completely understandable. It's funny because my son, who I think was 4 at the time, is the one that kind of got me back into watching wrestling. As weird as that's going to sound, because I was away from it for a long time, and I took him to we sat front row at one of the NXT tapings, And he sat there and was just so intrigued by it the entire time. So now we watch it together. And it's kind of interesting. You know, I mean, not to your level by any means, but it's interesting how wrestling gets the family, you know, it gets the families together.
Yeah. Even my stepson, he'll sit and watch it with me for a little while. I mean, he's not into it as I am, but we still watch it together. And I mean, so it is a nice family thing. My daughter's been to more wrestling shows at 10 and a half months old than I was before I got in the business, because I never went to a show.
Does your family come to all your shows?
So.
Does your family come to all your shows?
She's ahead of me in the game.
Okay. Well,
and there she is screaming.
Yeah, hey, it happens. I do appreciate you joining us this week, and we look forward to keeping in touch.
Yeah, anytime. Like you said, you're coming out here in June. Hopefully I can arrange something with you. And we'll make it work. I appreciate you guys having me on your show. It means a lot.
And we appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.